right now. It's pitchers and catchers, and let's go down to Florida. Shai Davidi, our MLB insider for Sportsnet, joining us. Hello, Mr. Davidi.
Hello, Jeff.
Give me a weather report.
Partly cloudy, but very pleasant. Probably about 70, 75.
All right, that's enough. Thank you. All right, that's enough. That's enough. You didn't have to be that. You didn't have to be that direct.
There's no salt on the ground, which is a nice plus.
That is a nice plus. Nobody stepped in a sprinkler yet either, which is even better.
Camp's just starting. It's early.
Could this starting rotation be better than last year's rotation?
Potentially, without a doubt. I mean, you know, you'd expect Marcus Stroman, as you just mentioned, to be more consistent or maybe even take a step forward. And there's always the possibility, and some people would even say the likelihood, that there's still more in the tank for Aaron Sanchez. And that's certainly an enticing thought, given the type of season that he had last year. You know, can Marco Estrada and Jay Happ be as good as they were last year? You know, Estrada was an all-star for the first time. Jay Happ won 20 games, and it wasn't on the back of the offense. It was on the back of his pitching. So that's going to be tough to repeat. But, you know, can Liriano give the Blue Jays some more consistent innings than those that R.A. Dickey provided last year? And that's a potential upgrade right there as well. So there's certainly the potential, but I think for the Blue Jays, if they just stay where they were last year, that would certainly be, without a doubt, good enough for them.
You know, Sean, now that you're down there, how do you view this rotation in this bullpen right now? What are your concerns? You know, what areas do you think are reasonably strong?
Well, the primary concern is who's the number six starter, and that's what makes what's happening with Joe Biagini so interesting, because, you know, is he going to be a potential swing guy? Is he going to be in the bullpen? Will the Blue Jays have enough bullpen depth that they could allow him to pitch in AAA for a while and really develop as a starter? And there's a bigger picture to that, too, with Estrada and Liriano eligible for free agency at season's end, that they're going to need some bodies, or at least some potential bodies, to be able to fill in next year. So, you know, the Blue Jays certainly want to find a way to help Joe Biagini make some progress and possibly be a factor in that regard. But that, to me, is where a lot of discussions are going to come up. Will the bullpen be strong enough without a Joe Biagini to make him a possible number six? How does it shape up with guys like Mike Bolsinger? What do J.P. Howell and Joe Smith look like in helping bridge the gap to Jason Grilley and Roberto Osuna? Those are some of the key areas where I think the Blue Jays still have some sorting to do, and they have some depth pieces which are interesting in the bullpen. Guys like Ryan Tepera, Danny Barnes, Matt Dermody, Chris Smith, all those guys have some power and have some good ability. They also have options which will potentially hurt them. So there's a whole lot of sorting for the Blue Jays to do over the coming weeks with the bullpen and developing a pecking order. And I think that's where a lot of the focus is probably going to end up being in this camp.
Well, and I think one of the good things is, you know, you will, you know, in the case of Aaron Sanchez, I'm thinking the Jays, we're led to believe, and I'll ask you about this, but we're led to believe that they're going to handle him a little differently this spring, and that, in fact, you may end up, you know, he may spend a fair amount of time pitching at the minor league camp, working on things, as opposed to pitching in the major league camp. But, I mean, that's going to get, if that's the case, that's going to give John Gibbons a great deal of opportunity to see some of these arms. And we may see some games this spring that are virtual bullpen games as they attempt to get a read on these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to be creative in a lot of ways there. And with Aaron Sanchez, he might get sort of the Marco Estrada treatment. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a slower pace this spring as they build him up for the season. He doesn't have to come in and prove anything to anyone. It's just, hey, do whatever you need to do to feel good for opening day. And let's try to reduce some unnecessary wear and tear right now when it doesn't really matter. So in that regard, certainly it's going to be a different spring for Sanchez. And you're right, he is going to have some luxury to work on different things. And if he feels he needs some major league games, we'll certainly give it to him. If they want to keep him hidden from opponents or allow him to work on one specific pitch without, you know, sort of any meaning to it at all on a grapefruit league game, they can put him into minor league games. But there's going to be a lot of looking, because I think they've got some ideas of how the bullpen's going to shape up at this point, some ideas of how the depth situation in the rotation shapes up. But, you know, all that is academic until they start actually seeing what guys are doing on the field.
How much of an emphasis do you think there will be in with Aaron Sanchez on being a little more consistent with that third pitch and having a little more success, you know, the third time through the order? Because the numbers are pretty dramatic in his case. And that shouldn't surprise us. I mean, that's quite often the case with young pitchers that they go through that. But will there be an emphasis on things like that with Aaron Sanchez, or Shai is the focus right now just managing workload and kind of letting that develop as it's going to develop?
Well, this is the opportunity to work on it right now. He could throw the changeup without fear of the repercussions, right? And he can try to find something that works with it a little bit more to play off the curve and the fastball. But, you know, there are times where he's been able to get away for, you know, 5, 6, 7 innings, pretty much, you know, fastball, curve, and just ride it out that way without really needing to change up. And, you know, if he has that element in there and he's putting it in the hitter's mind, and maybe he gets him a couple more quick ground ball outs, or it allows him to surprise a guy in a fastball count with that changeup, that's a nice weapon to have in your back pocket. So, you know, it's something that he's worked on off and on. He's at the point now where the curve and the fastball are really consistent and steady weapons for him. And if he can add to his repertoire, it's only going to make him more effective.
How do you see right now, as you're down there in Florida, how do you see the bullpen, you know, developing after Osuna and Grilly? Because I think we just assume that Osuna and Grilly are definitely going to be there. I mean, you mentioned some other names as well, but at some point, do you think the Jays will just have to go with Joe Biagini in the bullpen because they're going to need that arm?
Ultimately, I don't see how you pull Biagini out of that bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
and make and have it be as strong as it was last year. I mean, he was like one of John Gibbons's, you know, top go-to guys there at the end. You know, you think about how much he was relied upon late in September and then into the postseason in situations that really mattered. And then you're going to track that. That's really tough. That being said, there could be a scenario where, you know, a starter gets injured or something along those lines, and he becomes your best option. So that becomes the priority. That being said, you look at the bullpen behind him. So you'd have Grilly, you'd have Osuna. And then, what is Joe Smith? Is Joe Smith going to be able to regain some past forms and be the strong setup man he was a few years back in Cleveland? Is J.P. Howell going to regain the form he had 2 years ago with the Dodgers when he was so effective? That would certainly make bridging the gap a lot easier and make it more tolerable. And then, you know, a guy like Danny Barnes, I think, is probably right now in good position to make this team because of what he did last year and some of the trust that he earned. But again, that can change if someone pitches really, really well and comes to camp and shows very strong. That changes the mix. So that's where I really think a lot of the intrigue lies, because there are so many different possibilities right now. And I think the Blue Jays have to look at this as like, how are you managing for 162, not how are you managing at this point in time the best possible team?
You know, looking at the Jays' catching situation, I mean, obviously Russ Martin's the guy. Jared Saltalamacchi is there. With A.J. Jimenez being released, I mean, how does the organization's catching look right now? Is there a chance that Reese McGuire? Now, I know they've got Gratterall as well. Is there a chance that Reese McGuire starts the year at Triple-A? And could he do anything in this camp to, you know, kind of move himself up in the pecking order and maybe establish himself in the mind of the major league staff as a guy who might help them at some point down the road this year, even?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because he's sort of right now the catching prospect of the future that's in the system, right? Because Gratterall is depth, and they've got Monsalv and Ullman in on as non-roster invitee. So that would be the mix to shake out at Triple A, you know, along with McGuire, those four guys handling the duties at Triple A and Double A. Now with McGuire, what we've generally seen is that the Blue Jays are very deliberate and meticulous in kind of the way that they're promoting players, and that they don't want to push a guy up until he's reached certain thresholds at a level. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that means McGuire maybe gets a little bit of time at Double A to start the season before a possible promotion, because you know they really haven't had their hands on him for very long. He got basically a month in last year after they acquired him from the Pirates, and that isn't a lot of time to get to know him. I mean, he came to fall instructs and wanted to get to know the staff and familiarize himself with the team's processes, which obviously served him well. But I think they've got to be very cautious with him because he is so important to the bigger picture here.
Yeah, and it's going to be fascinating because one of the things, and I'm kind of looking forward to hearing from him and actually hearing from Russ Martin, because one of the things that the Pirates did, as you well know, I mean, I'm sure you've read Travis Sawchuk's book, but one of the things that the Pirates did when Russ was there was they kind of standardized or really put in place a system to help their young catchers learn things like pitch framing and they almost created a college where they could, you know, where they could deal with sort of the more intrinsic or the intricate, I guess, matters aspects of catching. It's going to be interesting to see how this guy looks, isn't it, when he's catching in games.
Yeah, for sure. And the other interesting thing, too, is that the Blue Jays this year will have a full-time dedicated catching coordinator, Ken Huckabee, moving into that role. And there'll be probably a bit more of a consistent instruction across the system this year, maybe than there was last year when there wasn't a dedicated rover through the system. But I mean, they're really lucky with Russ Martin. I think when one thing that maybe people... It's easy to take it for granted how smooth he is behind the plate, how strong he is, especially catching a very, very difficult staff with a lot of guys with sink and cut down at the bottom of the zone. That's a real difference maker. And if Reese McGuire is going to have to be able to handle those kinds of pitchers and be able to frame those pitches, because those make differences in ball games. You know, it's a big difference being 1-2 as opposed to 2-1 consistently. And being able to sneak in that full count pitch that's right on the border, that gives your pitchers a lot of confidence to nibble on the edges. So it will be intriguing. I think for that reason, the Blue Jays are going to not necessarily rush Reese McGuire, but there could certainly be an element of need that pushes him forth and causes the Blue Jays to be a bit more aggressive.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'd be willing to bet he's going to probably shoulder more workload than just about anybody in camp, between catching guys between starts, going down to the minor league camp, working in games, coming in late and catching guys in the bullpen. I think Reese McGuire, if you put a pedometer on him, is probably going to set a Blue Jays record this year for ground covered, distance covered in Dunedin. Shai, we appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. Enjoy the weather. Have a good time down there. I'm looking forward to some great reporting as always, my friend. You be well.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care, man.